Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 685. I'm your host, Josh Albrecht, recording once again inside the Slapbox penthouse. My trusty sidekick, Agent Fox Mulder, the three-legged feline, is laying next to my desk here, soaking up the suns. And, you know, I think his mood is perking up. I don't know, I'm just making up words now. Perking up. I think his mood is perking up as... this is the day back. This is the day back. This is the day after I came back from Germany, and I'm still a lot of it. I guess the jet lag's still fucking with me a little bit here. Brain not functioning properly. Need to retool. Need to put new spark plugs in or something. I don't know. Shit. Yes. Yeah, recording again. Yeah, we're in there, something or other. My brain's a little fried. It took a long time to get home. It was like a pretty much 24-hour trip to get home from Deutschland. Yeah. It was a long week. It wasn't my longest period over in Europe, but it was a long week. Yesterday was something. We got up at, I didn't really get a whole lot of sleep Friday night leading into Saturday morning before the flight out. I slept a little bit, not a whole lot. But then got up at like, you know, I don't know, 3 a.m. there in German time. They're 7 hours ahead of here in Washington, Missouri. Or St. Louis, you know, whatever way you want to look at that. It took, you know, we had a cab come pick us up from the hotel there at Hotel Daniel in Marienplatz. And, he showed up a little before 5. It was like 4:45, 4:50 when we got in that cab, and then it took from that moment, you know, it was just a long day. It was one layover after another, and I did the math half-assed on it last night. I think it was like 22, 23 hours basically from that moment until I made it back to Washington. John had to go back to Owensville, which is another like 45-50 minute drive. I definitely didn't sleep for, well, I didn't get like a good night's sleep for like 24 hours, at least over 24 hours. So my mind is a little fucked up. So I'm pretty much normal. So, cause it's always at least a little fucked up. It's my first trip to Europe, or basically trip to anywhere since 2019. So we're looking at 6 years since I had left the country, 7 years since I had been to Germany. I don't know, it was weird traveling with another person. I'm so used to going solo, and, John's a good friend of mine, but, he is very impatient. And he was nervous. This was his first time flying out of the country. He had been on a plane before, but it was like also a real small plane, very, very small plane, as opposed to what we are flying on, and never flown over the ocean. He was a little nervous. I'd say he was very nervous, you know, but there was some times I was concerned. It was like, are you going to be all right? Don't have like a heart attack on me. Because he had kind of a heart scare there for a minute. I was like, oh, please don't. I was really not trying to kill him. He gives me a lot of shit at times, but I was legitimately not trying to kill him. That was a goal. I didn't want to kill him. I do kind of want to strangle him at times because he does give me so much shit, especially at work. But yeah, I don't actually didn't actually want to kill him. Don't actually want to kill him. But hey, we both made it back alive. We are both back alive. And I was concerned about leaving Fox here by himself. And I did have Megan and her kids checking on Maeve. I spent a lot of time, I know, with Fox here. And I felt really good about that. And she made sure he was up to date on food and water. And although I had the automatic feeder the whole time, and it went off every day like it was supposed to. And, of course, she did scoop the litter box for me, so... That was relieving to have some people here to check on this fella as he's cleaning himself. He seems to, his reaction when I got home was, I opened the garage door, which apparently didn't set him off. Normally he hears that and he's already meowing. I can hear him through the door. I didn't hear him meowing when I opened, when I was outside the door in the garage. And, he must've been out pretty good. 'Cause when I opened the door, to the inside of the house here, he was still kind of out of us, like, hey buddy, what's up? And then he's like, he opened his eyes and started kind of meowing. He was like, whoa, what's going on, dude? What the fuck? This is a time when I'm usually by myself. What is going on here? He seemed a bit surprised at what was going on. Like, oh fuck, I thought you were either dead or just like said, fuck you, I'm gone. But after, I mean, he was definitely came and, you know, kept rubbing on me, giving some loving, and was very affectionate towards me upon realizing what once, like, his brain started figuring out what was going on exactly, that this wasn't a dream. But yeah, the trip, I mean, I tried... You know, one of the big things I wanted to do when going there, I talked about, you know, in the last few episodes, is I wanted to go to Zugspitze, which is the tallest mountain in Germany, and there in the German Alps. And unfortunately, I was unable to do that because I should have booked those tickets way in advance, because by the time I tried to get tickets to do a tour of Zugspitze, which, you know, sure, we could have... say, like, rented a car or taken a fucking taxi up there, which would have been really expensive. That's a fucking far ride from Munich there to Garmisch. Where the town where you take the cable car up to the peak of Zugspitze. And was it Garmisch, I guess? I don't know, sure what the pronunciation is there. But yeah, by the time I went to get tickets, it was booked for almost two full solid weeks. I was like, fuck. So we didn't make it to there. I'd thought about doing a tour of Königssee, the big lake there. That's not too far from, I believe, Zugspitze. But I know it is real close to the Eagle's Nest. If you go to the Eagle's Nest, which we did do, I'd done before, but it's... forget the Nazi stuff. You know, John is completely does not give a fuck about history whatsoever, so he could have cared less about the Nazi aspects of it. But I knew that going up to Eagle's Nest there to Kelstein, that you can see Kelstein House is, I guess, what they call the Eagle's Nest there in Deutschland. But you get a panoramic view of the German Alps. It's great to go up there. I mean, if you're interested in World War II history, there's a lot of it there. There's a documentation center where you can walk through there and you learn a lot about the history of, you know, World War II in there. And, Kelstein House. We did briefly walk through the documentation center and went into the bunkers that they had there, which I believe last time I went, I didn't get to go into the bunkers because They had it closed, I think, for some reason. I wanted to go into the bunkers, but it wasn't possible. So we did get to walk through the bunkers. That was a unique experience for me. But John really did love being in the mountains there. I'm a big fan of the mountains. And though I'd seen it before, it was still great, you know, just being up there in the mountains. And then, you know, what I was getting to is you can see Königssee from up there at Kelstein House, which Königssee is this just beautiful lake. I think it's the cleanest lake in Germany. And I tried to book tour tickets for that too, because you can take a boat ride over Königssee and then do the salt mine there, which just looks like a really fun, cool tour. But that was another one too. When I tried to get tickets for that one, they were booked up for the days I had left, because I had already booked tours for other days. And so I was like, son of a bitch. And we didn't make that. But the big news of what we did, like the first 2 days, the second day I had lined up a tour and that I fucked up. I immediately saw it as soon as I did it, but it was less than 24 hours that I had booked. I guess I booked it the night before when we arrived on that Sunday. But I knew as soon as I booked it, I fucked up and hit the German-speaking one, and I tried to immediately cancel it, but if it's less than 24 hours away, they won't let you cancel it. But I was like, son of a bitch, I just want to switch to an English. I tried calling the next day. I couldn't get a hold. It was just, and I was like, fuck it. All right, I guess I'm sucking that one up. That's a tour we're not going on that I just paid for, and wouldn't be the last one I would pay for, we wouldn't make it to. But basically the first 2 days we just explored Munich, walked around, did some shopping, got some Lederhosen, some real deal Holyfield Lederhosen, spent way too much on it, way too much. But I didn't, if I was going to get Lederhosen, I wasn't going to get some shit I could just buy at Johnny Brock's, you know. I was going to get some cheap ass shit. We were going to Oktoberfest. I had already booked tickets to do a tour of Oktoberfest. To go to the Hofbräu Fetzelt, the tent there at Oktoberfest, with the tour guide, and we'd had reservations up until 4 p.m. there at that tent, which is the biggest one at Oktoberfest, seats like over 10,000 people. It's a fucking mat. It's like a goddamn sporting arena in there. I mean, it is a fuck ton of people. Bathrooms are a trough. It's, or at least the men's bathroom. I didn't go in the women's restroom. I cannot speak to that. But anyway, I had initially planned on Monday. That was the day we were going to do some shopping. I thought maybe just to do the tour I had booked was just a walking tour of just World War II stuff. It's called like In the Footsteps of Adolf Hitler or something like that. So you find out the history of basically the Nazis in Munich, which is really kind of the birthplace of the Nazi Party itself. And, you know, there's a lot of dark history to it there in Munich. But I knew, you know, most of that anyway, and I'd done probably the same tour previously. It was just, I, you know, thought it'd be good for John to, you know, get a little, some steps in. But yeah, we didn't make it to that. I was really trying to do that night. What I really wanted to do, though, was the food and beer tour that I'd done before. And those were all booked up too. It turned out to be just insanely busy in Munich. Of course, there was at least 2 days while we were there. Actually, the day before we arrived, and then like one other day, which Friday, the last day we were there, they had shut Oktoberfest down because of overcrowding. Historic levels of people at Oktoberfest. It was a big deal. It's a big deal. 6 million people go to Munich for Oktoberfest every year. And the city's got, I believe, 1.65 million people normally in its residence without any tourists, you know. And so every Oktoberfest for those 16 to 18 days, it just balloons in size of population-wise. There's just a fuck ton of people there. Anyway, yeah, so we got Lederhosen the day before, and John ended up buying some too, because he was, before we're going, he was like, I'm not buying any Lederhosen, I'm not doing that. which he probably shouldn't have. He spent way too much money on it. But we browsed quite a few stores there in Munich, which they got some cool stores. Munich's a pretty cool city, I guess. And you know, there's a lot of great things just to see in Munich. A lot of buildings, water fountains that are, you know, water fountain makes it sound like a drinking fountain. There's just fountains, these massive, you know, fountains that are historic, you know, a couple hundred years old and whatnot, and just beautiful architecture. And John was definitely nervous, not speaking a word of German. And it's funny, like the time I went before by myself, I think I attempted to speak more German with people as ich verstehe nur ein bisschen Deutsch, which means I understand a little German, which I can say, you know, like please, thank you, you know, please would be bitte. You're welcome is also bitte schön, and bitte is used for a lot of shit. It's kind of, and yet beautiful is schön, like it's. It's kind of weird how those words are used, but you know, thank you is you can say Dankeschön or vielen Dank, and you know, you can say I basically said hello, which is, you know, hello. Is everybody just seems to say hello like when you're in there, so it's also you're like, oh, are they going to speak English or not, cuz that's. But most of the time, you know, it was pretty easy to find people that spoke English. Of course, the people at the hotel, I think it's like a must if you're going to have somebody work the front desk at a hotel there in Munich. You know, in the bigger cities where there's tourist areas, I would imagine you have to kind of speak English to have like a job like working at the front desk of a hotel. The cleaning staff didn't all speak English. It was a decent little hotel. The beds were rough. We spent a lot of time in those beds. It was a double bed, but we were able to separate the beds, which was nice. Didn't really want to spoon John the whole time. But yeah, we got the Lederhosen that day, and I spent. There was a deal. I couldn't tell you which store I finally bought the Lederhosen in because we went to so many different stores. And just kind of gathered prices. I wanted a decent pair of Lederhosen, but I also didn't want to spend thousands of dollars because you can go to the moon and back with the amount of money you can spend on Lederhosen, and the hat and the brush that you put in the hat. Like, it's fucking insane. I mean, for real Bavarians, people that live in Bavaria there, in Munich, that go to Oktoberfest every year. They will drop some mad cash on Lederhosen, from what the tour guide Elizabeth told us. Like, the brushes are taken from like goat fur, and they're hard to come by. And the bigger brush you have, the more you know, expensive they get, and also just shows your status. And those can go for thousands of dollars. Just the brush you put in your fucking hat. I didn't buy a hat. I had the Boston Scully hat I just got off of Amazon, which I thought looked good with the Lederhosen. I went with that. I thought it looked perfectly fine with the Lederhosen. Which some, you know, that's a popular style hat in, I think, all of Europe. You know, I know in Ireland it's a huge thing, but I saw plenty of hats like that being sold in Germany. And I thought, again, I thought it looked decent with the Lederhosen. So we weren't going to spend thousands of dollars on Lederhosen. But I figured I'd spend a couple hundred. Which I did spend several hundred on Lederhosen. And John and I actually went to a place and got a set deal where it was the Lederhosen, the leather shorts, a shirt, and it came with wool socks. And that was 250 euro a pop, which is, you know, $1.17 per euro when we were there. You know, stuff fluctuates a lot. So that was, oh boy, I don't know that I want to do this again, but Already we spent close to $300 right there. $292.50 basically is what that translated out to. And then I thought it was just a white button-up shirt. And also I didn't have any good shirt to put underneath, as you could see through it. And so I was like, you know, I really want a vest. And I saw some really good vests as we were walking around. And I was just like, I want a real decent vest. I wanted these really sweet red ones, but I couldn't find them, any of them in my size. But I ended up getting a vest from another establishment. Again, I don't know the name of the store. We walked into so many stores. It was just, I mean, we spent most of Monday was just like venturing into different stores. We were walking around the whole city that day. And I got a green vest, which actually reminded me of when Toddy the Body got married the first time and I was his best man. I had a vest somewhat similar to that. I felt like I was going to a wedding wearing this shit. But my initial thought was, we did try the Lederhosen on when we first bought them at the store. I thought they felt super comfortable in there. But you know, the craziness really is what transpired on Tuesday, which was John's birthday. So, you know, we had to live it up since it was John Boy's birthday. And, we had our Lederhosen ready to roll. But it was like a rainy day and a little bit on the cooler side. So we actually, we met over, it was Radius Tours, which they put on. So if you go to Munich, you want good day tours, like Radius Tours is a fantastic one. I know they do Neuschwanstein, which is a tour we went on. We didn't do it with Radius Tours, Radius, however, you would say that in Deutsch, but unfortunately, I think we're sold out on tickets. I wanted to do with Radius because I've had a really good, I've enjoyed the tours because I did do at least one tour with them last trip. And then we did the Oktoberfest tour with Radius this time. And I would highly recommend it. It was like $200-something per person for the Oktoberfest day tour, which we met up for the tour. Was it like fucking 10 a.m.? I don't even remember. I guess is when the tour officially started. We met up over at the Radius office there for the tour to start at like 9-something. And it was not very far from the hotel. I mean, it was like a 6-minute walk-ish from our hotel there in Marienplatz, which if you ever go to Marienplatz, there's a big fountain and there's like a McDonald's over by the fountain and stuff. There's a big water fountain. It's very, I would say it's reminiscent of the fountain that's in Chicago that is at the on the intro to the show Married with Children. It's somewhat similar to that fountain. It's a really large fountain, and Marienplatz, of course, is a big shopping area. Great place to be, like if you're visiting Munich, which our hotel was right there at Marienplatz. It was right next to that fucking fountain. Perfect fucking location. Perfect location. So I would recommend going to Hotel Daniel if you plan to visit Munich, especially, you know, for Oktoberfest. But yeah, we went to Radius tour. Where we fucked up, I woke up really early. John was still passed out, and I was just, knowing it was his birthday and stuff too, I didn't want to just like wake his ass up like immediately. But I knew, you know, I should have not let him sleep in so long, because we really should have eaten more. We should have eaten, period, before going on that tour. And neither of us did. Huge mistake. I'm way too old to make that mistake. But we did it. We did. We did not eat a damn thing before going on that tour. Horrible idea when you know you're going to be drinking a fuck ton of beer. And but that's what we did. We went on the tour. That was the biggest mistake of the trip, really, was not eating that morning. That was big We ended up not eating at the hotel breakfast at all. We went down there one day to see what was up, but it was like there wasn't much options. And if we ate breakfast, it was like we would just go walk over to like McDonald's or something and just get some from there, which at least, you know, if you go to McDonald's or whatever in like Europe or a different country, they're slightly different. So you get a slightly different food. The breakfast wasn't that different, I'd say, but they did have different items. One sad part is you couldn't get hash browns. I didn't see hash browns. Of course, there was no McGriddles. I figured there'd be no McGriddles. I had McDonald's the last time I was there, but again, it'd been like 7 years. I don't remember what I had there. Most of the time, being by myself too, I would often just get food at like a Quickie Mart sort of situation right before a tour. I wasn't real concerned about, and I wasn't like getting plastered while I was there the first trip. I didn't have to really worry about getting sick. We went to the tour for Oktoberfest on empty stomachs, and it was fun. What I remember was really we had a really fun time. Our tour guide Elizabeth, she was really awesome. And I'm gonna say, I think she might have liked me. I mean, we didn't. Spoiler alert: I didn't hook up with the tour guide, but she was an older lady. I would say at least in her 50s, maybe even older. But she wasn't bad looking, and she had just like there's been, you know, many a tour guides I had like this is the like awesome tour guide. She was an awesome fucking tour guide. Very entertaining, great voice, and she had a great style too. She wasn't exactly wearing a dirndl. She goes to Oktoberfest pretty much every day, every year. She said, you know, of course, there's been only a couple of times where she didn't make it to Oktoberfest in her life, which she said when she was an infant. Like a newborn, her mom did not take her to Oktoberfest. She's like, that's one year she didn't make it. And then, of course, COVID. She couldn't go during COVID. And so there's only been like a couple of Oktoberfests in her life that she was not able to attend. And well, of course, COVID, I mean, nobody attended. But she's, you know, been to Oktoberfest every year besides that. The tour... again, we met up at Radius Tours, the offices, and then we walked to the train station, hopped on a train, got off at some bridge. I don't remember. Hakenbrua, whatever the bridge was. I don't really remember. Or Hakenbrekka. Bridge is like Brekka or Brekka, I think it is. Because the bridge that you take photos of New Schwanstein from... Which, again, I didn't make it to that. We walked near it, but like last time, I don't think I was able to go because there was just too many people trying to get on that bridge. Too long of a line. By the time we got this time, too, the side note, it looked like too long of a line. We didn't bother going over there. But that one's Marienbrücke, I believe, which is Mary's Bridge. Marienbrücke. Anyway, I'm probably fucking that up. But, yeah, we got off at... some stop, there was some bridge near Oktoberfest, which actually John and I had walked through Oktoberfest. I feel like it was Sunday, the first day we were there. We walked through there. And there was a fuck ton of people. It was like Sunday at about, I don't know, 4 or 5 p.m. So it was the later crowd. And it was just a fuck ton of people there. It was a good like 15, 20 minute walk from our hotel over to the Theresa Wiesen. Like Wiesen is what the locals call it. But the area is Theresa Wiesen, Weise, or whatever it is. Because Theresa is the one that got married initially. It was what the initial party was for before it turned into an every year an event. They gave like horse races for the marriage. They had this big horse races and shit. Anyway, we did. Yeah, we walked through on that Sunday, and it was like we had I didn't hear about it closing down for the overcrowding until, I guess, Sunday night. And I thought maybe they were talking about that day because I was like, oh, I'm not surprised because there was a fuck ton of people when we were walking through that Sunday, but it was actually talking about Saturday. And yeah, we didn't buy anything on our initial walkthrough, but man, it was like our initial reaction to it was there's a fuck ton of rides. It was very much, and a lot of Americans criticize it for this, is that it's like going to a county fair here. There's just a lot of amusement park rides and people drinking, which, to be fair, I think a lot of Germans migrated over here, and that's kind of how we ended up with the county fairs and such that we have around here, is just that German heritage coming over and establishing that. But I don't think it's fair to say that any county fair. Now, granted, I've only been to a couple of different fairs here. I know the Washington Town and Country Fair is like pretty big deal in this area. You know, not all in the state of Missouri, maybe not, but, you know, it probably ranks up pretty high in the state of Missouri as far as those things go. I've not been to the state fair, but there is, which I think the state fair is in Sedalia, if I remember correctly. Anyway, I would say it is accurate to say that, and also very not accurate to say that, because Oktoberfest really to me is more about the consumption of alcohol. that is a huge thing, and it is a it's something else. I would say the biggest part of it is you need to spend time in those beer tents. If you just walk through Oktoberfest and you're not going inside any of the beer tents, which it's weird to call them tents because they're sort of permanent structures, not really, because they're only there like 3 months out of the year. They set them up, I think, 3 months in advance of Oktoberfest, and they're not permanent structures-ish. But it's not like, you know, a nylon tent. They're massive structures. And they take them apart after Oktoberfest ends, which they're probably, as I'm recording this, yeah, they're probably already started doing this because today would have been the last day and they're 7 hours ahead of us. Well, so I guess they haven't, it's like 6 p.m. there as I'm recording this. They haven't, yeah, they're still doing Oktoberfest is the last day. They'll start taking it down, I guess, tomorrow, but they got time. Maybe they won't do it right away. That's a Herculean effort because there's a lot of shit there at Oktoberfest. The rides, from my understanding, too, move around, and tent location can vary. It can change from year to year. I don't remember how many, like, big tents. There's like 6 or 7 big tents, and then there's like 20-something of the smaller ones, which the 6 or 7, whatever it is, of the big tents, those are like the big breweries in Munich. It's all got to be beer. The only beer that's served there is Bavarian beer. It's all got to be from Bavaria. And it takes some effort to actually get your brew out there. So it's not like there's like tiny like little microbreweries and stuff out there. You got to be really well established. It's a serious thing to be able to get in there for Oktoberfest. but that's, yeah. I could see, like, you have kind of a negative thing as an American thing, like, why did I come here for this? If you just walk through the Treason Wiesen grounds there, because it really is just like a obscenely massive. I mean, it is massive, even if you think it is just like a county fair here in the States. It is a fucking massive one. It is a hugely massive one. Again, 6 million people go there for Oktoberfest every single year. And they drink millions of liters of beer in that time period. Again, 16 to like 18 days. But those inside those tents is where the craziness really gets. But then, of course, a lot of the rides that are outside are set up for drunk people and to laugh at drunk people. It is, some of those rides are fucking ridiculous. but... which again, drinking does happen at like county fairs here, but it is not like the main event here. And you got to really worry about lawsuits and whatnot, and drinking and driving. In Munich, it's almost no one drives to the fucking Oktoberfest. It's very easy to get to off the U-Bahn there, and or to just walk to it if you're staying in Munich. I mean, it's very easy to get to. Almost no one drives there. There's no fucking parking. There's no way you can have 6 million people park at an event like that. So, you know, drinking and driving is not something that's I'm sure plenty of people are finding a way to park somewhere near it and drinking and driving, but I don't think drinking and driving is quite as popular, I would say, as it is here. And Germans, like, start drinking. The legal age of drinking in Germany is 16, and to get a license is a lot harder to do over there, so I would think at least the Germans would definitely be less likely to drink and drive. Not saying it's not happening. But I guess my point is, because there's not so many people driving to the event, that you don't have to worry so much about, you know, car accidents as much as you would here in an event like that. So hopefully less, you know, lawsuits and what have you. I'm sure just crazy shit happens. I mean, we saw some crazy shit. There are people just getting real fucking tanked. I got real fucking tanked. But I mean, there's a tower that has like these conveyor belts. You walk up to this tower, it's pretty high. We might have walked over by it. I know the tour guide pointed out when we were pretty far away to look at it, and that it's really funny just to watch people on that. Like, she's like, I don't know that I'd recommend you actually go on it. But you climb up this thing, and there's like little conveyor belts that you can slide across. And drunk people are just constantly falling on these things. It seems like a major lawsuit waiting to happen. There's the Devil's Wheel, I think is what it is. Der Teufel something or other. That one we did go into, but I had blacked out by that point. There is video, not of me in the video, but of people we were with in the group on there. It's just a big circular thing that like moves, kind of rotates like side to side. It goes like up and down, and then just like, but then it starts speeding up. And like the movements aren't real crazy, but then as it speeds up, it like everybody starts sitting in the middle of this just big wheel basically, and then it moves up and down and goes rotates in a circle, and then just starts speeding up, and it just basically throws everybody off the thing. But it's very entertaining, of course, to watch these drunk people try to stay on this thing. I imagine people puke on that like pretty consistently throughout the day. But it's only a couple of euros to go in there. You can ride it. You don't have to ride it. You can just go in there and watch the drunks. I know I was in there. There's not a video of me in there, but there's video of me when I was there. Video that was recorded while I was in there, and I'd already blacked out by that point. But yeah, we did go to. We walked into on the tour. There's the. Oh shit, I'm going to have to pull up the goddamn picture. The name of this place, they are Roast Ox the whole time through Oktoberfest. And it's one of the big tents, but it's not the Hofbräu like we went to. That one's the biggest tent. It doesn't sit 10,000 people, but it sits quite a few people in there. It's the Spätenbrau Ochsenbratenrei. And there's this really cool, I guess you'd call it animatronics on the outside, like roasting an ox. And you go in and they have 150 ox that they, or oxen, whatever you'd say, the plural of ox. And they have those 150 is all that they have for those 16 to 18 days, which, I mean, it's a massive, you know, animal. But they roast them, and we walked through there, and you could see them roasting the ox, and it said whatever number it was for that ox, which I've got picture here of them roasting Alfred. I think his name was Alfred because above where they're roasting him, they put the name of the ox, Alfred. And he was number 73, I believe. It's hard to read this. I think he was 73 of the 150. And man, the food looked good. I was seeing people like eating in there. And man, yeah, it's... Sadly, we didn't eat any of Alfred. But we walked into there. We walked all... our tour guide, Elizabeth, walked us through all of Oktoberfest, really, except for Oderwiese, the old, considered the old part of... well, it's kind of, from what I understand, from what she said, it's called Oderwiese, which means like old, basically Oktoberfest. But it's not that that's like the old stuff. The older stuff's actually on the outside of that. It's just they tried... They're selling it as they're doing like old traditions of Oktoberfest and more like some of the early original like Oktoberfests. But you have to pay to get into there. And so we didn't actually go into there, but it's not much from my understand. Again, we didn't actually go to it to pay to get in there. We did go to the Hofbräu Fetzelt, of course. That was our main destination on that tour. And that's when shit got crazy because, you know, again, we didn't eat anything. It was probably about noon or 12:30 or so when we got into the Hofbräu Fetzelt. And we had that table until reserved until like 4. And the way the tour worked is we got these vouchers for each ticket. We had 2 beer vouchers, which really it had an amount of euros. I don't recall what the euro amount was for each ticket. And then we also had a voucher ticket deal for a half a roast chicken. And it also had a dollar amount on that. So you didn't have to use it on a beer or you know, food. I mean, you can use whatever you want. You can use those vouchers. You just might have to, you know, split the difference and pay in euros for whatever you get. But we got in there and, whew, man, whew. Yeah, not eating before Oktoberfest is that's a rookie mistake. I mean, it's a rookie mistake for drinking, period. And I know better than that. And yet, I'm old and just don't give a shit anymore, I guess. And we didn't have any food in our stomach before alcohol. This is the first thing that we did, like our whole table, our group. Well, there was several. The tour group was large. It was a large tour group, probably maybe upwards of 100 people. And we broke off into 3 different tour groups. They had 3 different tour guides, and so they had about 30-ish. People to like each tour group, like 30 something to break it, because it was right around 100 people, I think, that showed up for that tour. And we all had like a section reserved there in the Hofbräu Fetzelt. And yeah, we had, of course, they only served liters of beer in there, so you're getting a fucking eins Maß, yeah, Maß of Bier. And yeah, it went down. You know, it's surprising how this really high alcohol content beer will go down so easily. But when you're in that environment, and you know, the mood picked up definitely after the beer consumption, especially as we started to finish our first Bier. That was just like the party really started. There was this I don't remember their names, these older fellows from, I want to say, Arizona. They were at least in their 60s, these 2 dudes. And they showed up, man, and they, the one that said at least he'd been there quite a few times for business of some sort. I don't know if he said what his business was. him and his buddy, I think, had been there before too. But they did not have nice lederhosen. They spent like maybe $10 on their lederhosen. This is a Johnny Brock special that they were wearing. It was basically t-shirts with lederhosen printed on it. And from the get-go, I knew these guys were something else because it seemed like they were both like hitting on the tour guide wanting some of that action. But again, I would like to point out, she did wink at me several times throughout the thing, and I feel like maybe had I played my cards right, perhaps I could have had a chance. Anyway, or maybe I'm just reading into the politeness of the tour guide. But reading too much. Anyway. Because she does, you know, that is kind of her job, is to be, you know, to entertain people. Anyway, they were like, ooh, I don't know about this. They were ended up being pretty cool, though. We drank with them quite a bit. There was this guy, Devin, that was, I want to say, was he saying he was staying in Phoenix? He'd been to, lived in a few places. I think he said New Jersey. He had stayed somewhere in the St. Louis area for a while. And he was a really cool dude. There was this Jesus and his wife. I don't know what his wife's name was. I forgot where they were from. But I hit it off with Jesus initially. And because he was like 41, I'm like 44. And you know, we had a lot of stuff we were talking in common. And then he walked away. I was talking to his wife. I think, I don't know, I might have freaked him out that, you know, thinking maybe I, you know, his wife might do something with me. Maybe he just got jealous that, like, oh, he liked me. I don't know what happened, but they left soon after. Like, he went to the bathroom, and I was talking to her for a while, and then he came back up as we were talking, and then it was just like they immediately left. I was like, well, I was really attracted. She was really hot. But I wouldn't have done anything, to be fair. Also, I liked Jesus, so, like, I, you know, unless they were going to do a three-way thing, which, again, you know what? When in Rome? But that was not on the table. And then there was this woman from San Diego. Again, I don't remember her name. Devin's like the only one I really remember the name of. Again, there was high alcohol content of beers. I have no idea how much beer I drank. It was a lot. I know that. It was more than 2 liters. I'm thinking it was well over 3 liters. But I really have no idea how much I had. There was an Australian mother, and she brought, I think it was her son that was with her. And again, I don't remember his name, but he had somewhat nicer lederhosen than say the older guys from Arizona had. But it looked nicer, but it was still fairly cheap lederhosen. Yeah, he was pretty cool. And I don't know, there was an older couple from somewhere in the States that were, I'd say 50s, kind of all hanging out in the same like table at Fetzelt, inside the Hofbräu Fetzelt, but which I still never quite remember the exact way to how to pronounce Hofbräu. But anyway, dude, we had a lot of fun, but you know, the next day I was puking all day, and we skipped the tour to Austria the next day. I had to, and I had already paid for it, but I couldn't do it. I couldn't stop puking the next day. But there, during the heat of the fun, when everybody found out it was John's birthday that day, like they started giving him all their fucking vouchers for beer. And that's when, you know, it started getting real fucking crazy. I had bought John a chicken head thing with batteries, which ended up while we were going through security through the airport, they had to search my bag because that was in my my carry-on bag inside my backpack, and they probably saw the batteries inside this thing. What the fuck is this? You know, is this a bomb? It was a chicken hat that makes a lot of noise, and it moves and stuff when you press the button. And we did get that back to the States, by the way. John has it. He bought some goggles too that go right. Somehow they're like steampunk goggles, and yet they somehow magically go very well with the chicken head. But so John's rocking this chicken head with the goggles, and there's people posing with the chicken head. Like, somebody else at our table first got the chicken, because they're like walking around. There's a bunch of people that work for Hofbräu that are selling stuff like that, sweaters, knickknacks. We got several pretzels while we were there. Oh, the the roasted chicken, the half-roasted chicken. Holy shit, if you make it to Oktoberfest, get one of those roasted chickens. It was hands down the best chicken I've ever had in my life. You know, roasted chicken is often, it's dry. There wasn't a speck of meat on there that wasn't dry. I could not get enough of that chicken off the bone. I wanted to get every little bite of it. Again, of course, I had not had any food that day. There's that. And I knew I needed to eat something to, like, counteract the alcohol consumption. Apparently it wasn't enough, but holy fuck, that chicken was amazing. The roasted chicken at the Hofbräu Fetzelt, fucking, it's lecker, I believe is the German word for delicious. Holy shit. Again, best, the most flavorful, most moist chicken I've ever put in my mouth. It was fucking fantastic. I took a picture of the chicken before fully consuming it, and it was just like, holy shit, I want to remember this chicken. And thankfully, I remembered that part. The chicken was fucking amazing. And I was one of the first people at the table, too, that ended up having to break the seal and go into the bathroom. And they have tents inside, or tents, they have bathrooms inside each tent. And then they have even bigger bathrooms outside that looks like something you'd see like on MASH, the old TV show that's, you know, takes place during the Korean conflict there. It reminds me of the tents there. It's like, you know, this massive like tent setup, almost like barracks, that's just nothing but bathrooms in the back. And they have a free water fountain that's also connected to the bathrooms. That's a little strange. It's not inside the bathrooms, it's the outside at least, but it's weird that's running on the same system, you know, water and whatnot. But they have to redo that stuff every year in the couple months before Oktoberfest. So, you know, like everything's very sterile, at least at the beginning of Oktoberfest. I broke the seal first, and that's got to be the largest men's room I've ever pissed in before. And it is just like a trough. It's just like big, like just one big long sink you go piss in. There's no privacy in there whatsoever. I mean, you're drunk. At that point, who gives a shit? just a massive fucking bathroom. And the fun part of that was like when I went and pissed, because we didn't walk all throughout that tent previously. So I got a real grand scope of just how insanely huge this Hofbräu Fetzelt was when I went to go piss. And by the first one, man, that... Oof. A friend, of course, had Googled like how much the alcohol content at Oktoberfest was, which he read was 13%. It's not 13%. It's lower than that. It has to be higher to be able to be made in advance to be sold at Oktoberfest. It has to be a higher alcohol content, but it doesn't have to be 13%. But there's... It's very high in alcohol content. And we, that first beer, I was like, this is going to be rough. But we were having a lot of fun. And, I had to climb over our table and to like jump out to get to the bathroom first. And I pretty much ran to it. It was like, I tried to hold it. Because I know after that first one, you're pissing constantly. And but I was like, I had to basically run to the fucking bathroom. And I remember, of course, yeah, we were having just a lot of fun chatting it up and just drinking, doing the Prost cheersing in German. And you got to stare at each other directly in the eyes when you say Prost. Stare at each other directly in the eyes and hold that Bierstein up. And as you're doing it, the tour guide said you're going to have 7 years of bad sex if you don't do it properly. So, but that's nice, though. At least I'll have some sex. If you're insinuating that I'd have I'd have some sex if you're saying that. But holy, I mean, Jesus, man, that is a massive tent. And of course, oh, man, we had those to show that. What tour group we were in or whatever, I had the cookies around our necks, and it said the Radius Tours, so we would know you know, which tour group we were involved in. I'm looking at the pictures of inside this tent. This inside this tent was nuts, man. We were, it was definitely an epic drinking night to end all drinking nights. That's hopefully the most drunk I'll ever get again in my life. I doubt that I'll ever make it back to Oktoberfest in Munich. But I do have, of course, I do have the real deal Holyfield Lederhosen, so I'm definitely, you know, I need to, I guess, use those more and go to them in America. I don't plan on drinking to that excess going there again. I'm looking at the pictures of myself at Oktoberfest. You can tell I am already fucking wasted. I remember pretty much everything about being inside the Hofbräu tent. The pictures really help. We've got quite a few pictures of us inside there. And John, of course, with his hoodie on, covering his Lederhosen with a chicken hat on, although he would eventually take the hoodie off. There was, holy shit. When we got outside the tent, that's when things start to just fade. I remember briefly leaving the Hofbräu. I believe, from what I understand, we at least went inside one other tent. But, I mean, we had more beer outside of there, too. And, like, holy fuck, man. I couldn't tell you how much beer I actually drank. I know that I used my two vouchers. John had apparently given me a few vouchers because he got from several people. They were like, here, it's your birthday. Have our vouchers. Which weren't exactly free beers. That should be noted. That was figured with part of the tour. You're spending over $200. So people are just like, here you go. And it was like, you know, 15 or 20. The voucher was for like 15 euros at least. And so, I mean, that's some money. So people are like, hey, here you go. And like, we got so fucking lit. I mean, there's a good chance I may have had upwards of like 6 liters. I don't need a beer. I really don't know. I honestly don't know. I know we had more beer after we left the tent. I'm not sure how much we had in the, like, I remember pretty much everything inside the tent. I know I had at least 3 liters of beer inside the tent, possibly 4 or 5. I really don't know. I know that, yeah, we left the tent. We had more beer after the tent, and we apparently went at least one other tent, and that I don't remember. I vaguely remember walking outside of Hofbräu. And there's, like, John's got several photos, like, yeah, I don't remember that at all. And then John had made friends with this lady from San Diego who I think definitely would have done more for John if you say, like, she was very willing to help him out with his birthday. But we ended up leaving from where she was. And, holy shit, she was one that gave us several vouchers, and she had video of, because I guess I thought it was only the fellas of us that had really walked outside the tent together, but I guess not, because I guess she was there. I don't know, maybe we just met up again. I don't know how any of that worked. It was just crazy. Crazy nonsense, but there was the Der Teufel. Man, I have to look it up. Let's see here. Famous riot at Oktoberfest. Let's see here. Der Teufel. No. We didn't go any of the roller coasters. Man, they had some really cool roller coasters. Let's see here, Oktoberfest guide. That should help me. It's an old fucking ride. It's been around probably hundreds of years. They had really awesome looking rides. If I wouldn't have gotten so fucking trashed, it would have been great to experience some. I'm a big fan of like coasters. I haven't been on one in many years. Oh, here it is. Fedel's Teufelsrad. Feldl's Teufelsrad. For many, an Oktoberfest visit without the devil's wheels. The devil's wheel is unmanageable. Watching its participant fading centrifugal challenges is just too much fun. It was it was pretty crazy. I don't remember actually being inside the tent. I'd seen plenty of videos, though, of people doing it before. And, of course, I know that we had gone in there because there is video evidence of at least part of our group, at least one, Devin, the guy, which we found out apparently, which I don't remember, I'd already blacked out, that he liked the taste of sausage, if you know what I mean. Though I did nothing with him. I got to say, if I were to, you know, swing that way, Devin would have been like, he was a rather attractive fella and just an entertaining guy to be around. If I were to swing that way, I mean, I definitely would have do that. But yeah, I'm pretty sure I did not swing that way. Pretty sure I will not in the future, but you know, you never know. I mean, Charlie Sheen has admitted recently that, yeah, he's dabbled a bit. I'm nothing like Charlie Sheen, but anyway, there is video of Devin riding that ride, and from what I understand, that was like the moment where it was like it was evident I was way too drunk, as I think John at that point was pretty drunk too, but he did not puke. I was the one that had started puking, but I didn't puke at all at Oktoberfest. I did not, we saw Vomit Hill. The tour guide pointed it out. It's a massive hill. There's this huge fucking awesome statue above Vomit Hill, which we wanted to go over there and get a picture, but we never made it over there to be able to take that picture. But there's, yeah, again, very massive statue of Vomit Hill. From what the tour guide also told us, that the trumpet players and band players the next morning will go over to Vomit Hill and just like blast trumpets in these people's ears, like while they're passed out drunk, you know, from the night before, and wake them up. Like, that'd be horrible. I'm glad I did not have that experience. but when we are at Fedel's Teufelsrad, that is the moment, apparently, in there. I took one look, basically, at the devil's wheel and saw it moving and realized, I said something like, oh, man, I'm not feeling well. And that was basically the moment, like, John's like, oh, fuck, I got to get this asshole out of here. and I think at that moment, too, he was like, no, there's no fucking way I'm riding that. Which the tour guide did say 2 liters is the perfect amount. If you want to go on these rides, 2 liters of beer, 3 is already too many. And we, at that point, I don't know, had, you know, 5-6 liters. I don't even fucking know, man. It was a lot. It was too much beer. and John does remember, I think, pretty much everything. Though I don't have, can't speak to anybody else from that night to be able to know whether or not he truly remembers everything to get a full account of. But he, of course, does not speak a word of German. And I was very sick. I was to the point of just not feeling well. I was feeling sick. Again, this is what happens when you don't eat a lot of food before going out drinking, like I did. And we were a pretty far walk from Oktoberfest. We had gotten a little lost when we had walked to it previously that Sunday. Of course, it was the first day we were there. And the GPS while we were walking around the town kept fucking up and switching around, showing the wrong direction. So it was a little confusing. So you really had to pay attention to the names of streets and stores and really look at the map and make sure it's what it's supposed to be. And but John, I was like, I've been lost in other countries before. It didn't bother me at all. Like, I know that I can backtrack and that eventually I'll find my way. It just might be a little tricky. Not my first rodeo. but different story when you're really fucking trashed. And I had a feeling we were probably going to have to get a taxi of some sort out of there because, yeah, we had experienced problems navigating our way while we were sober. So it seemed like, you know, we were probably going to end up paying for a taxi. Thankfully, I had quite a bit of cash on me in euros, which I still need to go to my bank and switch over euros. Damn it, because I did not make it to a currency exchange on the way back. Motherfucker. But Yeah, I was able enough to walk, but I couldn't. John had to kind of lead me. Is apparently I know that, you know, it. I probably had, again, I don't remember walking through Oktoberfest past a certain point, but I know in years past when I used to get really fucking drunk that I get like a sphere around me to where that's all I can see. There's like a bubble, everything that's outside, basically as far as my hand can reach is as far as I can usually see when I get real fucking trashed. And everything outside of it is just a fucking blur. It's like I'm in a little personal circle. It's like a Vegas sphere that I'm walking around in, a miniature Vegas sphere. But although you don't get cool pictures on it, it's just everything's a blur on the outside. It's like they need to adjust the resolution really badly. I'm assuming that's where I was at. Again, I haven't been that way in like probably 15 years or so. I definitely haven't puked from drinking in a good like 15, 16 years. It's been a long time. I have not puked from drinking in forever. So this is the drunkest I've been in a very, very, very long time. Probably, I mean, it probably ranks, you know, in the top 10 at least of the times. I definitely haven't blacked out in that long. Anyway, John got us to, they have the little taxis that, it's not a car, it's a bicycle with a little thing on the back. It's a, would you consider that a rickshaw? I'm sure there's a German word for it, but they have the bicycle and the little thing where you can get fit like at least two people on the back. John paid, well, he had to get my wallet out of my pocket, I think, of my lederhosen and pay him because he didn't have any cash on him. And so he paid him with my money to get us the fuck out of there. But John, all he knew how to sit to say to him is just like, Hotel Daniel, Hotel Daniel. And he's like, you know, none of the drivers knew where. Hotel Daniel is a very small hotel. Which I knew before going into that if you tell any of these taxi drivers at Hotel Daniel, they're probably not going to know what the fuck you're talking about. But I also knew Marienplatz. You say Marienplatz, they're going to bring us right to where that fountain is, which is right to where our fucking hotel is. I was able to say it. I was with it enough to say to the driver, Marien, because apparently John's like, Hotel Daniel, dude's like, I don't know, nicht verstehe, you know, do not understand. And so I just like, Marienplatz, Marienplatz. The driver's like, oh, yeah, yeah, Marienplatz, yes, yeah, yeah, we will go, yeah. And I think he might have had some trouble getting me into the taxi, but we made it back to the hotel. The next thing I remember is probably not too long after we got to the hotel, I think John went and got us some water and some other stuff from the store that was like right below our hotel or right next to it. And we, the next thing I remember was like taking off my clothes at the, trying to take my clothes off rather at the hotel and then having to puke my guts out. And I puked quite a bit that night. And the next day I puked a bunch of times. I puked everything that had been sitting in my stomach for, you know, I don't know, the last 20 years that like, I just kept puking. And I was to the point where I was shaking. After I'd puke, I'd shake, and I'm just sweating, and it was just so unpleasant. And really, for that day and the next, man, it was really hard to really appreciate how much fun I actually had at Oktoberfest, because I'm just now associating it with just being just horribly sick drunk. And yeah, I puked a bunch. They say, you know, you can eat those cookies they give you at Oktoberfest. They're gingerbread cookies, which I wouldn't normally eat gingerbread, which I hadn't planned on eating it. But the next day, I didn't have any other food in the hotel. We had canceled our trip to Austria already. But I was like, I knew I needed to start getting something in my stomach. Because the only way I was going to get to feeling better is to get nutrients into my body and to hold them down. And it was there. I was like, I guess I'm going to try eating this cookie. And this was before I'd canceled the tour, I think. And I was just like, because I was still determined, even the next morning, I'm like, I scheduled this tour. We got to do this. And so I ate some of that cookie, and I ended up fucking puking it back up pretty quickly after eating it. And it already didn't taste great. The cookie did not taste good. And so it sure definitely didn't taste good on the way back up. And man, yeah, it was a rough go afterwards. In my head, I was like, you know what? Maybe this is cookies, just what I need. This is the magic thing that'll fix me. And nope, I couldn't stop puking, and had to skip out on Austria. Although we did, you know, walk briefly into Austria during the Eagle's Nest tour, because you can walk in there via the German Alps up there. And we did drive through Austria briefly on that. There's just like a little segment of Austria where we skip back and forth between Austria and Germany. And so technically, you know, we had been to Austria, and we also, of course, on the way back, flew into Vienna Airport, which, I mean, we were in some massive fucking airports. One of the funniest things I got to say, because I need to really wrap this up, I do need to go finish doing my laundry, because I got to wash every fucking clothes that I basically own at this point. And, you know, go to the store and all that shit. And I am recording this on Sunday. Thankfully, I did not record it last night when I returned. That would have been rough. I have had a lot of sleep over the night. Anyway, one of the funnier things is when we went to go to Neuschwanstein tour, Castle Neuschwanstein. That morning, it was the morning of the Eagle's Nest. When we went on Neuschwanstein tour, we were on a tour with a bunch of Americans, and there was quite a few Canadians on this tour. I didn't have, you know, the connections. I did not see Alex again from the first trip, the Canadian that I had a thing for, and she was not on this trip, sadly. But holy shit. Anyway, these Canadians, like, there was this Canadian group and these Americans that were really hitting it off. They were, like, on the tour groups that we did partake with, they were selling alcohol cheap on the bus, on the tour buses. And that trip to Neuschwanstein, they were taking advantage of, it was only like $2.50, like euros, for one beer, which is crazy cheap. It's crazy cheap for a beer here. And these are fucking Bavarian beers, high in alcohol content, and they are buying them up there on the bus. And on the way back, they would not shut up. They just kept going on and on, and they knew that they were pissing off the other people on the bus because everybody's just like passing out, tired. Meanwhile, they're just keep on going. They were going to go to Oktoberfest and just like, oh boy. And Colin, I remember the one Canadian name was Colin. And they kept giving Colin a bunch of crap. And it turns out Colin and I guess a few other of the Canadians that were in this group were staying at our hotel. And when we got back to the hotel, actually, we ran into Colin again. It was like, hey, it's one of the Canadians. And the next morning when we got up to go to the tour to do Eagle's Nest, John first opens the door and sees there's this cup of coffee from McDonald's sitting outside the door. He's like, did you get coffee? Like, no, I didn't get any coffee. Like, this was, you know, several days after Oktoberfest. I remembered everything except for the night of Oktoberfest. Like, there was, you know, a small blackout period for that. A couple hours where just a couple hours is a lot to black out, but there's probably a good 2 hour window or more or so ish that I blacked out during the trip. We found this coffee that it had been somewhat drinking out of sitting right next to our door. It was very odd to just sit that. And then we're walking to the elevator again. I think we went to go get breakfast at McDonald's conveniently. And there was a McDonald's bag by the stairs with like half eaten food. There's some fries left over in there. Cause like, the McDonald's there right there at Marienplatz, there was several around that location, but the one that was like right next to the fountain, that one was open 24 hours. Well, it was 23 hours a day. Cause it was shut down from like, 6 to 7, if I'm not mistaken. This is like the 1 hour they would shut down, I guess, to restock and do whatever they had to do. I don't know where I was going with why it was shut down for that hour, but so basically, if you wanted food all night, you go to McDonald's. So the drinking person's choice, I would imagine, in Munich there. Oktoberfest classic, if you will. But we walk over by the stairs. We're walking to the elevator, which is like the smallest elevator ever. It's I think somewhere it said the max of 4 people. But, man, it's tough for like just 2 to 3 people to ride in that thing. And over by the stairs, there was the bag of McDonald's. And I guess that was the last thing we fit. But it seemed like there was like a trail to that bag of McDonald's from the coffee cup to there. I'm assuming, I don't know if it was Colin. I feel like it was probably Colin or somebody in his group that was doing this. But I think they were really drunk and had tried to sober up by getting some McDonald's. And we're just like trouncing through the hallway. Probably we were waiting, but we didn't see. Thinking we were just going to come across somebody just passed out in the hallway, maybe in their own vomit. We did not come across that, though. The bag of McDonald's was on the stairs, though, so we're thinking maybe they climbed up or down the stairs. Maybe got confused as to what fucking, you know, what floor their room was on and went to the wrong one. But we never did figure out where that breadcrumb of trails went. Of course, we had to go to our tour. Kind of wish we would have gone up and down the stairs just to see if we could find a drunk person laying in the hallway and just to know whether or not that was Colin. Pulling a Colin, you know? Yeah, the next day too, then when we went to go to the airport the next morning, we saw the bag of McDonald's. I think it was the same bag of McDonald's on the stairs. I guess the housekeeping just missed that. Or perhaps there was another drunk person roaming the halls, maybe the same one, and just left another bag of McDonald's out on the stairs. Pretty crazy trip, though. I gotta have some bragging rights now, though, that at least that I've survived actual Oktoberfest in Munich. I guess you could say I survived, as you know, I did puke my guts out a bunch. But hey, I didn't black the whole thing out. I still remember a good chunk of it. I think that there's probably maybe a 2-hour period-ish where I blacked out. I don't know, maybe less, maybe more. Honestly, have no fucking clue. But man, yeah, it was a crazy, crazy night, and the trip in itself, you know, it was all right. I'd say it was a lot better than, you know, me shitting the bed in Russia, as I didn't have any fun leading up to that. That was just sickness the whole trip. I couldn't say I went to Oktoberfest, at least, for that. So, pretty crazy. I think John did enjoy the trip overall. So, I mean, he did not, I don't think, enjoy any of the plane rides. We had, especially on the way back, we had 3 layovers on the way back. Well, 2 layovers, 3 flights. And the one flight was like 9 hours, some change. It's, I think, close to the longest flight I've ever been on. I know I've been on another flight that was over 9 hours, but I'm not sure which is technically longer. But that's like a war of attrition, going through that part and then trying to get back home. But, you know, it's only a day you got to worry about that. And then once it's over, it's like it's just a story. So that's really all I've got. I do have shit I got to go to do. You know, I'll probably remember other things from the trip next week or something. I don't know. I feel like I've told, like, the important part was Oktoberfest, which, you know, if you have the means to go out there and if you like beer, you like to drink, and you want a crazy story, they have really good food. I would suggest, you know, eating a lot of the food. Maybe don't drink 5 to 6 liters of beer. Keep it at 2 if you're going to do it. Be smarter than I was. It probably made for a better story, though, you know, or not. I don't know. I can't tell because I didn't. That's my experience there, and that will forever be my experience at Oktoberfest. So there is still Oktoberfest going on in Hermann till the end of October here. So, I mean, maybe I'll get some more use out of my Lederhosen before the month is over. But that's really all I've got. So, as always, that is a kid in a wheelchair, not a trash can.